So just how close are we to getting rid of $1.2 trillion from our deficit?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiotakis. The members of Congress who are charged with cutting the budget deficit continue their meetings next week. The so-called Super Committee has until November 23rd to come up with a plan. If they don't, there'll be automatic across-the-board budget cuts. Jim Lucier has been watching the Super Committee progress from his offices in Washington. He's managing director of Capital Alpha Partners, and he's with us now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Jim, how are these Super Committee meetings going?
The Super Committee meetings have just started, but so far I think they're proceeding well. You can tell they're proceeding well because the members are really making positive statements about getting to a solution, and there really hasn't been anywhere near the level of discord that we saw in the debt ceiling talks.
What about getting these lawmakers to come up with some debt reduction plan by the deadline? Because we know that if it doesn't hit the deadline, then automatic cuts take over, right?
That is true. They have to reach a minimum target of $1.2 trillion in reductions. They have $1.5 trillion as their high-end goal. But I think we already know where a lot of these spending cuts are going to come from. They'll come from small cumulative changes in the baseline over 10 years.
Explain to us, you said cumulative baseline. What is that?
Well, in Washington, we talk about trillions of dollars as if they're pocket change. But the reality is that we're talking about 10 years worth of spending at once. And over that period of time, the government will be spending nearly $50 trillion. So to find $1.2 trillion in reductions over 10 years, we're really looking for about 3% cuts across the board. And that 3% number, when you think about it this way, 3% over 10 years, is not as scary as $1.5 trillion all at once. It will definitely not be $1.5 trillion effective tomorrow.
Jim Lucier, Managing Director over at Capital Alpha Partners. Jim, thanks.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are slightly higher right now. The Dow is up about a quarter of a percent, 29 points at 11,463. The NASDAQ and S&P 500 each up about anywhere between a quarter and a third of a percent. Consumer sentiment in this country nudged up in early September, but the Thomson Reuters University of Michigan survey says consumer expectation about the future fell to the lowest level in 31 years since May of 1980. The head of the United Auto Workers said today the union's getting pretty close to a deal with GM. General Motors wants to cut pay. Workers want profit sharing and signing bonuses. European finance ministers met today in Poland, saying they're going to wait until next month to decide whether Greece gets the next phase of bailout money to help with the debt crisis there. One coalition watching the meetings very closely is the BRICS countries: Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. Those countries will have a meeting of their own in Washington next week to come up with a plan to help Europe. The BBC's Paulo Cabral is with us now from Sao Paulo, Brazil. Hi there, Paulo.
Hello there.
So how is Brazil looking at all this turmoil in Europe? I mean, what happens in Europe certainly is going to have an effect on the BRICS developing nations, right?
Certainly, because everything is connected nowadays. But it must be said, it doesn't have an impact in Brazil as strong as it would some 10 or 15 years ago, because Brazil has diversified its trade partners, its trade relations. An example, China took over the position of the United States as the main trading partner of Brazil 2 years ago. Of course, there is impact in Brazilian economy, but less than in the past.
These countries, Paulo, including Brazil, are meeting in Washington next week to come up with a plan of action to help Europe. Can they actually do anything?
Well, look, Brazil, for example, has quite a lot of international reserves, so it could, in theory, even provide funds for Europe. But it doesn't seem likely that the Brazilian Central Bank is going to make these resources available for these other countries. So it still is to be seen what kind of plan the G20 countries are going to come up with. Brazilian economy can provide an important consumer market for European and U.S. companies that are having to face the turmoil back home.
The BBC's Paulo Cabral in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Paulo, thank you.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, insuring more than 80 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. and by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
Because Walmart is so big, when the company adopts a new policy, even as small as changing a brand of light bulbs it sells, it has huge implications. Well, now, as Marketplace's Eve Trow reports, Walmart's giving a solar energy company a big boost.
Walmart sees renewable energy as a way to save money. Joel McCower at greenbiz.com says long-term contracts for solar power insulate Walmart from roller coaster prices on the grid.
They can lock in lower energy prices. They can predict their electricity costs years out from now.
Walmart's banking heavily on SolarCity, a company that uses emerging technology in thin solar film instead of traditional solar panels. Next week, SolarCity and Walmart will expand their partnership. Lawrence Gassman at Nano Markets says Walmart does take on risk by backing a newish technology, but it's a different kind of risk than government loans.
They make judgment calls based entirely on profit, whereas the government is trying to do some stuff which has to do with jobs, which is a much harder way to do investment.
SolarCity just landed a big loan guarantee from the government, $344 million, as part of a deal to put solar power on military housing. Gassman says the solar industry now attracts enough private money that the government guarantees are not essential, but federal subsidies are crucial for growth. I'm Eve Trow for Marketplace.
And finally, supermarkets in Argentina are getting some vending machines that'll sell you Lay's potato chips. But the machines don't take coins, they take potatoes. You buy the spud at the store, drop it in the slot, watch a video of the chip-making process, and voila, out comes a warm bag of Lay's potato chips. But the bag of chips you just bought, yeah, not made from that potato. It was in there the whole time. Remember? You were just watching a video. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Before you start calling people sellouts, remember, everybody's got to eat.
Artists love to create music and love to make money from their music. Everybody is a marketer.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the advertising sounds of Paul Simon. That story, the numbers from Wall Street and the day's business news. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.